Welcome to Bedknobs and Broomflicks, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our favorite familiars, and witches in history. Sorry, this show will include spoilers. You've been warned. My name is Jane, and you can refer to me as...
My name is Linda, but this week you could call me a half-eaten cheese stuck in a mouse trap. Yeah, I think we all know what happened to that mouse. Poor thing. But don't worry about it. It's not too bad. It was a child, so.
Oh my God. Actually, I have seen, like, some mice have been able to, like, outsmart some of the traps by, like, just nibbling to the sides of it. So they were telling us at one point when, when we had a mouse problem, somebody had told, like, my dad that what he should do is he should, like, rub, like, peanut butter around, like, a kitchen sponge, and then their teeth get stuck in it.
Oh, my God.
It's like, holy shit.
Oh, my God.
I remember this as a child. That was a recommendation, because they were saying, like, yeah, mice have learned how to eat around the cheese, so here's how you get them stuck in it. Hi, by the way, everybody, we are talking about the witches from 1990, because we're still on that.
We're not just talking about mouse murder. The most terrible
today in
ways.
Our favorite familiar.
The mice from Cinderella. Gone, but not forgotten.
We just do like an in memoriam, like the Oscars, to show pictures of Gus, Gus, and Jock.
Remember you. Yes. I'm already there.
Well, I thought you were going to start singing in the arms of an angel.
Oh, yeah, I guess that should be the more PETA presents version. Oh, so yeah, we're talking about the original movie version of The Witches, The Witches. And it was directed by, we had a little conversation about this before, like how to pronounce his name. It's R-O-E-G.
We don't, we're bad at names. Let's be really honest. If you listen to us for this long, you know that names are not our forte.
Yeah, and if you share the same last name and we mispronounce it, then you could just at Jane on Twitter.
Yeah, because at Jane is totally my Twitter, and somebody who actually got at Jane is not going to be really effing confused. It's probably like an egg account for all we know.
At Jane Lane. Janerson Esquire.
MDDM, so, blah, 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 blah. I can't remember. I don't know my own title anymore.
The third.
It's gone too long, Linda.
So we're going to guess Nicholas Rogue.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we agreed on.
And this is amazing that I found out. He also directed, in 1973, he directed Don't Look Now, which is like a classic, freaking amazing horror movie in 1973. And it has Donald Sutherland in it, being all Donald Sutherland. And you can almost see full frontal nude of Donald Sutherland. So. Yeah, it's pretty good. If you like horror, if you like, well, it's,
I'm sorry, is this like you can almost see full frontal nude of Donald Sutherland, you kind of like, if you like horror, like, I think everybody has different opinions of this right now, and I know mine, and I'm going to keep it to myself.
So yeah, it's not like traditional horror, but it's definitely like a horror classic. And it's different, let's just say, but also maybe a little bit of Donald Sutherland pain. You know, you're curious. Just check it out. I believe they still have it on Shudder. Speaking of which, Shudder, look us up. please become a sponsor. And he also directed, now I'm sure you'll like this, Jane. He also directed The Man Who Fell to Earth in 1976 with Rip Torn and our Lord and personal savior, David Bowie. Yay!
I was like, I'm like, every single time you mentioned this stuff, like before you even got to The Man Who Fell to Earth, my hackles were like raised, and I'm like, oh fuck you, don't you dare say a Nicolas Cage movie. Like, I'm so on edge half the time, going like, she's gonna talk about it, she's gonna do her freaking 6 degrees of Nicolas Cage.
No, that comes
then I have
later.
To go with a Vampire Diaries reference just to annoy you. And I don't have one because this movie's too freaking old.
Also, the screenwriter is Alan Scott, who also wrote the screenplay for Don't Look Now. He's currently, well, unfortunately, Nicholas Rogue has left us, but it's okay because, you know, he lived to a pretty good age. But Alan Scott, the writer, is he's still 81 and still kicking ass, apparently. He's
still 81.
He's still 81.
It's like back... the way you phrased that's like he was 81 1990. He's still 81. Yeah. I was like, dang.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm getting at. Like, he drinks orphan tears.
He's discovered the secret. He actually has been turning children to mice and drinking their tears.
Yes. And since the 80s, he's been 81, believe it or not.
There you go.
He's the co-creator of this year, 2020's The Queen's Gambit, which is kind of funny because he's writing it alongside Scott Frank and Scott Allen. So it's Scott Frank, Alan Scott, and Scott Allen. So I don't know if maybe Scott Allen is like a weird pen name for him or if somebody just had like a strange sense of humor. But the it's spelled the exact same way too. It's A-L-L-A-N. So I don't know.
Also, well, Tom Johnson is right about Bob Johnson being right. Got into my Blazing Saddles little motif there.
Johnson is right.
John Johnson is right. Reverend.
Reverend. God, I love that movie so much.
I do too. And we can't do it because it's not witch-based.
We'll find a way.
If we can find the Wicked Witch like somewhere in the background during the restaurant scene, then I call that we do it. Just because. For a split second.
I'm pretty sure that the line is, the sheriff is a witch. And then there's the bell.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what he was saying.
While we're at it, the little background on some of the people here. Mai Zetterling played the grandma. And I looked her up and apparently she was a serious hottie bombati. And
Yeah, I looked up pictures of her, too, and I was like, dang.
I know, right? I was like,
she's gorgeous.
Damn, grandma. But she made plenty of movies in Sweden, where she was born. She even acted in an Ingmar Bergman film, Torrent. So,
yeah, she sadly passed away at 68. I did read that.
Yeah.
From cancer. I was like, ugh, fucking cancer. My heart stance, fucking cancer.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry if you're offended by our stance. But
yes. I would like to go down the list of diseases that I would just like to say fuck you to.
Jane's views do not reflect those of Ben Nubs and Boomflix.
She doesn't understand why they don't. The pro-cancer party.
Brought to you by cancer.
The pro-genital warts party comes out. It's just like, it's just like, we are offended by what Jane said. It's like, yeah, I don't see the reason why. You
get
guys suck.
Get Jane canceled. Jason Fisher, who played the boy.
Who has a name? Who has a name?
He finally gets a name.
They both get names.
Yes. His name is Luke in the movie. So,
and grandma's name is Helga.
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 And that's pretty great, because now I don't feel like the tall man from Phantasm.
Thank you.
Like, boy.
Boy.
But it's also kind of making me sad too.
Because you wanted to keep doing that throughout this movie.
You know I did.
Yes, I know. So I'm thinking like, yep.
R.I.P. Angus Grimm. But the boy only acted in two other movies. In Hook, he played Ace. And in Parenthood, the movie from the what was it, 80s, 90s, he was Kevin. He was Steve Martin's son's character. And, yeah. But that's all he's done.
Yeah, and I couldn't find anything else in him, because sometimes they, because I think the kid who played Bruno in this movie, I think he also, like, this is the only movie he acted in. And he just went on to both, I think, first get into, because he's from England, so he either became a barrister or he studied to become a barrister. And now he runs, like, a big corporation. So I was like, oh, okay. I mean, this must have been fun for you, and you just were like, nope, not for me after that, and we're good to go.
Well,
I'm glad they're not damaged. Let's put it this way. I'm used to damaged child actors,
we
okay?
Assume.
And if you can get out of this, I'm like, good. Good for you.
It's so funny, because last night I had a weird dream that that Corey Feldman was killed, and I found out that he wrote a song, and in the lyrics, he was indicating that Lindsay Lohan was going to kill him. So
I really want to just open up Google News and just see if anything pops up.
What is Lindsay Lohan doing these days? Possibly killing.
I don't know. Do you really want to know, or do you just want to ignore that? Yeah, exactly. There's just sadness no matter what you do in that case.
Yeah, it's true. There are no winners there. The hotel at which they filmed was like, oh God. Once they first showed it, I was just like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. And I want to go there sometime. And apparently once this COVID crap, which I will say can fuck right off, is...
Hard stance Linda there also.
I would say come at me, COVID, but please don't. Please.
Yeah, please don't. Don't do that to Linda. Please. Don't do it to any of us. Just stop. Please. Stop what you're doing.
Just please fuck right off. Once it's over, I mean, we can go visit it eventually. Because they filmed it at the Headland Hotel in Newquay in Cornwall. So I definitely
So it's actually
gorgeous.
Still there. It's still standing.
Yeah, to my knowledge, yeah.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, and the area is just gorgeous. It's just right there by the water, and But yeah. So I mean, you know, let's do a little Google foo here.
Okay.
That land Cornwall.
Well, anyways, one of the things that because we had I don't know, like, how some of these, like, I think Rowan Atkinson, I was reading that this was, like, his first movie, and Mr. Bean and The Witches, like, were released around the exact same time. So we kind of got, like, a newbie, just out of it, Rowan Atkinson, I guess, from... I know. I was like, he's in this? I was like, oh, he is in it, so...
He's just, like, an added treat.
I know, because, I mean, the hotel manager in the original book was just... I mean, he wasn't important, so it was just like, don't show me those mice, kid, or else I'm going to throw them into a bucket of water. It's like, okay. Yeah. Kind of sort of villain, not really, but just needed somebody to get Luke or Boy away from his grandma so he could train his mice.
Yeah, and I believe in the new movie, the character's played by Stanley Tucci, the Tooch.
Oh.
But yeah, the hotel this would be interesting. Is still standing.
Which, can I just say something? I'm going to have to get HBO Max. I haven't gotten it yet because I've been doing HBO through Amazon, and I found out that, like, they're not the same.
No.
So I was like, oh, fuck.
Or you could get HBO through Hulu, and it's not the same either. There are some things that aren't available in the other versions of Hulu, unfortunately, which we found out because what were we watching? Raised by Wolves. And we've been watching that in The Vow because I'm fascinated by cults and shit. So,
hi, HBO. Jane here. Can we sit and talk for a second? Come down. Have a seat for a second. What the fuck are you doing? Seriously, this was supposed to be simple. I pay for a streaming service. I was hoping that everything that is offered, you know, through your through HBO would be on the streaming service. What the fuck are you trying to do? I just want one source where I go and get my streaming, okay? It's okay. I mean, if you want to pull it off of Amazon and just put it on HBO, okay, fine. I can deal with that. Don't create three fucking separate versions of it.
Please.
That I have to then buy three different versions of it just to watch what I want to watch. Mm-hmm. Ah, you're ruining what I was hoping streaming would be.
I feel like you're not fuckers. The same cable channel that you were when we first started this relationship. And I don't think it's like Jane and me. I think it's you. I just think we need some distance. And yeah, we'll come back to it. Just a little vacation, if you will. Just some time apart.
just want to watch Last Week Tonight. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, right.
I just got to watch this movie. Not to get a different service. I was like, I'm ready. We're good. I got this. No, it's only on HBO Max. Fuck you. God damn it. Ugh. I know. First world problems. But Jesus Christ.
Really, though. I mean, it sucks because, like, you don't... of course, like, HBO Max isn't on anything. Like, in any of the smart TVs or... even the Roku. And so I think I had to end up getting it on my Xbox. And it just really sucks because we have an awesome, fucking amazing smart TV and we have to like keep switching it around depending on what we want to watch. If it's on HBO or HBO Max.
I mean, even when Disney Plus came out, we were able to figure out how to get it onto the Fire Stick. It's like, great, we can't do it through Amazon yes. or anything else, or the smart TV, but at least it's on the Fire Stick, so we could still utilize it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is what's going to fucking ruin streaming. Again, I get it, first world problems, but seriously, it's just annoying. It's just like little like things. It's just like, let's just gouge you for a little bit more money because we can get away with it.
Look, streaming, you're just getting a little too high maintenance. It's always
doesn't mean I like cable television. I still am not really a fan of cable television, but still, it's
no.
Like, okay, anyways.
Anywho.
Okay, HBO, you can go away now. Get off of your seat. Go.
Go back into the corner.
Call one of your other girlfriends. I don't care. Fuck off.
before I forget, I found out that Nicholas Roeg also directed some erotic movies and shorts.
Go on.
Including Paradise Hotel, which was like, I think it's 30 minutes-ish. And it sounds like a sort of, what is it, like Cinemax, Skinemax type of short. And because he also directed Erotic Tales Volume 3.
I mean, whatever pays the bills, I guess.
But he also directed one episode of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and that was the shit back in the day. I loved that. But the Hotel Paradise also surprisingly has Vincent D'Onofrio. I think it was before he, you know, was Vincent D'Onofrio. And it's from 1995.
Stars the naked stranger. Sorry, I'm looking at IMDb going like, it's like the bride and the naked stranger are the two ones that actually get names. And everybody else in the cast is basically a nameless character.
Exactly. And,
oh, the recommendations, though. Full body massage.
Which he also did, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, he directed
Yeah,
that.
He did. You got me down a really strange rabbit hole right now, Linda. We are getting so far away from the movie he directed.
Oh, yeah. But this one, Hotel Paradise, the description is, a bride-to-be wakes up one morning next to a man chained to the bed, but cannot remember what happened that the night before. It's 29 minutes long, so I'm thinking it's like a little short. I don't know.
A 30-minute romp.
Let's call it that.
Yeah, see? I'm good at naming things.
Yeah, I believe they refer to it as an erotic adventure. So, yeah, once you're finished checking out Don't Look Now, go
ahead and check out. I thought you were going to say, once you're done checking out The Witches, it's like, then you can turn this over while your kids are still in the room, if they haven't been scared off by this movie. Lighten the mood in a different direction.
Yeah, when it's time for the adults. But yeah, so I should say this, going back to The Witches, apparently it took approximately 6 hours to apply all the prosthetics and special makeup to Angelica Houston, and it took about another 6 hours to remove it. And in her 2014 memoir, Watch Me, she's claimed, quote, I was so uncomfortable and tired of being encased in rubber under hot lights for hours that the lines had ceased to make sense to me, and all I wanted to do was cry.
Oh.
Like, I could see.
I mean,
see
those were some epic prosthetics as well. And
yes.
I do feel for her because every so often it's just like, I mean, I know that they probably all, I'm hoping they shot all the prosthetic scenes out of order. And then they're like, okay, now you can wear your regular face and look pretty.
God, yeah. I'm hoping that they did it all in one day, but I kind of doubt it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, 6 hours and you can only do so many takes in that. So, yeah.
But the little mice puppets and her prosthetics look so amazing, and she looks a little bit to me like a Skeksis.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd say that. I was like, that's a Skeksis, isn't it? This right? is like what happens like, when Jim Henson has leftover puppetry material. Because this is also Jim Henson Studios as well. So
yeah, he was the executive producer. And apparently he played a huge part in this because originally Roald Dahl was very unhappy with the story's ending being changed in the script, you know, differing from his book's ending. So to appease him, Rogue shot two endings, both the one with the book ending where the boy remains a mouse. And
they're told that he's going to die, but they go on the mouse hunting expedition, or not mouse hunting, the witch hunting expedition to just eradicate all the witches in the world.
And he's going to die with his grandma and his harem of wives.
As we agreed to on the last episode.
Mouse wives, mouse husbands, and maybe like a rat in there just to mix things up.
Or a mole, you know. They don't see it coming, might as well get a mole.
Like, we don't judge. Like, love is love. There was also the ending where the boy is turned back into a boy from the script. So supposedly Dahl was like, he absolutely loved and was moved by the loyalty to his story when he used his ending, but
test audiences are not so fond of that
because it's grim and so sad as fuck. So yeah, they went with the script's ending, and supposedly Dahl was so pissed off about it that he demanded that they remove his name from the credits, and he threatened to speak out publicly against it. However, Jim Henson, being magical god that he is, worked his natural magic and talked Dahl into approving it. So, yay!
Well, Roald Dahl hasn't been happy with, when he was alive, he wasn't happy with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory either. So he's never been quite happy with the way a lot of his books get adapted into movies, it seems like.
Supposedly he was like really really upset with how grotesque and dark and horrific the movie was and how scary it was for kids. But
did he read his own book?
That's what I was thinking. Like, there's that description of all the pain and like the great detail of the pain.
How much he suffers. And also they explain that like her face is basically almost undescribable. Like something's rotting. It's like, yeah, that's the face of something rotting when she takes her mask off and everything. It's like, yep, that's a good display of what I would imagine what rotting would look like. Like if her face started falling off, like in a Death Becomes Her sort of deal, I would have believed it too. Like her nose just falls off. She's like, hey.
And it was like eaten away by maggots. Like, yeah, I mean, come on, man. Like, not a huge difference there. But unfortunately, Roald Dahl and Jim Henson both died that year. In fact, it was the final movie that Jim Henson was able to work on personally. And it was the final movie to be made of one of Roald Dahl's books before he passed. So I know that was, for me, that was a really, really sad year. Just thinking about the news with when Jim Henson died, it's just terrible.
Yeah, no, that was a surprise. And I would have been about 6 years old. And I think at that point, like, Fraggle Rock and Muppet Baby was, like, a big deal. And obviously Sesame Street and just regular Muppets, because my dad and I would, like, bond over the Muppets and everything. I'm starting to do that with my own kid, is we're bonding over the new Muppets right now.
There's loves Beaker. There's nothing to dislike about it.
I know. No, I'm actually enjoying Muppets now. I think that the format for the current Muppets Now actually makes sense. Like, it has that vaudeville type feel of the original. Yeah. But because it's nobody would understand vaudeville of today's age, making them like YouTube videos makes a lot of sense, with Scooter being a really poorly underpaid gopher.
Oh my God, I love Pepe's segments.
Oh yeah.
And the Swedish chefs. Oh my God, I love it so much.
Oh yeah, my kid finally recognized the Swoosh Chef as the only one who has human hands. I was like, well, that's because he has to manipulate stuff. But I have to admit, when they have like the real people who are actually cooks on, I'm just like, man, I want to eat that food right? so bad.
I was actually looking up a recipe for one of them. I can't remember what it was, but and then Danny Trejo was making
tacos. I was like, yeah, with mole.
I have one of his shirts of Trejo's tacos. I love him.
That's like he was flirting with the turkey. He's kind of like, if I had to tell you, I'd have to. And it's like, long pause, like, marry you and take you away. He's like, you'd never be able to tell anybody my secret. It's like,
Oh, so good. And they're all influencers now.
Lifestyle.
Yeah. So.
It's I know that we're kind of straying from the movie, but I mean, when we say that it was very faithful to the book, it was very faithful to the book. Like, they only like cut out a couple of small things and then they added a couple of other things, which I don't know. The cat was kind of annoying to me.
Yeah.
Only because like, I'm not, I mean, I agree. You know, as somebody who has owned a number of cats in her life, yes, cats will go after mice, but they usually don't growl and yell and hiss as much when they're catching mice. Usually they're very quiet. And this cat, it was like it was being attacked. I know. Like, it sounded like somebody was hurting this cat, even though he's like just trying to catch a sock of knitting or he's trying to catch his mouse. He's like, rah! I'm like,
yes.
Is somebody stepping on that cat's tail where he's trying to catch his mouse? Like, what is wrong with this poor cat?
And that snake probably wasn't hissing either. I mean, what do you want?
I didn't know when she offered the snake, which before she even, like, gave him the snake. And she's talking to Luke up in his treehouse. And she's like, I got something that's worth a lot of money. And she pulled out the corn snake. And I'm like, I think I paid $40 for my corn snake when I had a snake. It was like $30 or $40. But it was like a baby. And I'm like, I think we have a different understanding of what's worth a lot of money here.
Well, wasn't that it supposed to be in London? So maybe.
I don't know.
Snakes are expensive there.
Do we have any London listeners? Like, well, no, that's the. See, Gwen, like, well, Maeve's like, no, no, that's supposed to be the Irish who drove the snakes out. That doesn't count.
But yeah, that and the grandma was in the book. She had some a case of pneumonia, and in the movie, she came down with diabetes, a mild case of diabetes, and.
Mild case of adult type 2 diabetes, I'm assuming, which can happen. Yeah. I've known a couple of people who became diabetic in their older age. So,
but I love that the doctor prescribes some some good air.
Yes. Oh, they all prescribe good air. It's like sunshine will do you good. It's like, not if you're an albino, I don't think, or if you're like me. Sunshine is basically a curse. So F off, lady.
Yeah, we were talking about it on a Cage's Kiss not too long ago about like how if you have anything, it's like, oh, just go over to Bath and get some of that nice fresh ocean air. It'll cure your tuberculosis.
We just don't want to look at you anymore.
Right? Like, No, the nice ocean air is not going to cure her diabetes.
Can I ask something? Like, something that I was curious about. What's with the opening of the movie? Like, where they're flying over the snowscapes? Oh. It's like they kind of created, like, some weird setups to how witches are, but that they never really delve into it. So, like, because I really was very reminiscent of how... Hocus Pocus starts out, but you actually see like Sarah's shadow, like when she's flying over the landscape. Versus this, it's like I'm imagining they're thinking it's a witch, but since they don't really establish later on that any of the witches fly or use brooms or anything of that capacity, it just seems kind of
use like a comment. I think there were like two comments in there where I think Rowan Atkinson says something about like. Oh, you just, I see you just flew in or something. And she's like, yes. And
then later I must have missed that. Cause in my mind I was like it just felt weird. I was like, oh, we're not going to see them on a broom, are we?
Well, also later when she's telling her assistant that, or secretary that she can't join the banquet with them, she tells her, that you must, go up to the room and start planning for our,
flights. Yes. I just didn't like buy into that. I just assumed that like she just like disappears and reappears in certain places. I was like, yeah, no, of course they don't fly. They just go like, I want to be here, zap.
Or maybe she does. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, like, did you notice the frogs on the dining room table of Grandma and Luke?
Yes.
On the plate. That was weird. I was like, are they going to eat those frogs? Like, and she's just making candles. I was like, what the fuck are those frogs doing on there? I was like, I remember doing like candle making at one of those Pioneer Village type things. Yeah. I don't remember frogs being part of this. So if anybody who actually makes candles for fun, if frogs are used, could you please just let me know if that's the case? Because I was so confused why there was like this little plate of like unmoving frogs in the center. Of, like,
when I have made candles, I have never used a frog. Oh, yeah, that was kind of strange. They also kept the girl who had been turned into the painting.
Yep. And
that kind of scarred me as a kid.
Yeah, I in my mind, I didn't remember her growing old in the painting, but yes, clearly she did. And she just, you know, disappeared. Although they do go back to the painting again. Like, they find she sees a painting, Angelica Houston's, which in the... movie sees a painting with a small child and she taps it and like then the child in that painting disappears. I'm like, is that like another missing child and she just literally murdered that child by
That's
tapping on the
I
painting?
That's what I was wondering. And then the secretary does too and you could hear her go, and then she just disappeared and I was like, what the fuck? Did they kill her or what's happening?
I mean, it seems like they did. It's like they knew that was like an actual child. Although, going back to the original child, this is the thing I was looking up a picture of earlier because I was like, I recognize that jacket and hat. That's Kirsten's jacket and hat from the American Girl doll collection. I guess I drew a picture of it. Like, if I was like, I'm like, that is Kirsten's jacket and hat from American Girl. And I know they made like a child size version of it, so they might have actually
is
bought it from American.
Is that the picture
Girl.
You got?
Yes.
Oh, because I thought we got a picture of the same thing. My question was, like, I had to get a picture of the over the grandma's bed in the hotel. There is this weird thing with
doll
a,
head
a doll
thing?
Face. Yeah.
I saw that too, and I was like, is that a wash rag? What the? It looks like a like somebody took like the front face of like one of those like old school baby doll heads, uh-huh. but just took like the plastic molding off or something, and it was like the rubber, like a rubber, like yeah. plastic molding. And yeah, I couldn't figure it. That too. And Luke just jumps off of it. It's like as a mouse. I'm just like,
yes,
the fuck is that? We got frogs on a table. It's like, are we sure grandma's not a witch as well?
Right.
What the fuck is like, going on?
When he jumped off of it, did you hear?
No, but yeah. whatever you heard, I will let you keep believing that.
Oh no, I didn't. I was just wondering if you did.
Okay, no.
But I don't know if it's like a weird like Norse, a Norwegian thing, or if it's just something weird from the grandma.
I have no idea. I mean, I still have like unanswered questions about grandma. Like I'm kind of disappointed that neither the book or the movie talked about how she lost that finger. Like,
yes.
I really want to know if it was like, was it as a right? child? Was it as an adult witch hunter? I'm really curious about this.
Yeah, I need to know too. I was really curious. And I know in the book it was her thumb and in the movie it was her middle finger. So I think maybe she gave the wrong witch the middle finger. I don't know. But that's the story in my head. But when I was with the doll face, I didn't know if that's like a Norwegian thing or if that's just an indicator that she's like the future version of me.
I mean, do we have any face. Norwegian listeners out there who or people from Norway or understand Norwegian culture? If you can explain this, maybe we can post a we can find a screenshot of this, because yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, what the fuck is that? I think it's like, yeah, it did just kind of like pop out at you.
Yeah, that was really weird. And I think it's kind of groovy. So, like, if you can help us out, we'd really appreciate it.
Linda would like one of those. It's yes. It was recently her birthday. And if you could find that, that would probably make her best birthday present ever. She'd hang it above her bed, scare the crap out of her husband. And be like, no, this is my safety piece now.
I can already hear him saying, like, no. You're not putting that above the bed.
It's your ward, though. Your ward. That's the word I was looking for. It's your ward.
No haunted dolls, please.
You know this entire like section of eBay dedicated to haunted dolls?
Yes.
Like people
yes.
who claim dolls are haunted.
I freaking love it. I'm here for every bit of it.
People amaze me sometimes. Like, they annoy me a lot of times, but they also amaze you. I'm just like, I'm here for your grift on this one. That's pretty interesting.
Oh, that's how I sold a bunk bed when I got out of college. I sold it on eBay because it wasn't, oh no, it was Craigslist. It wasn't selling before. And so then I made up this story about how for $1,000, we'll throw in a witch doctor to help you to exorcise the spirits. And I actually did get some interest then.
Sorry to think I've gone around Craigslist in every place all wrong now. Every one of my items is cursed or has a spell on it. It's yours.
That's okay, thank you. But I did like how in the movie they kept the line, it doesn't matter who you are or what you look like so long as somebody loves you, except she sings it like kind of like a little song.
Yeah.
And that was really sweet.
Yeah, it was. And okay. I think I like the fact that this grandma seems to actually care more about Luke's safety.
Yes, she's not just like, that's a brilliant idea. You might die, but this was brilliant. Let's do it.
Yeah, this one's sort of like, oh, I don't want you to do it, Luke. It's too dangerous. I'm scared. I'm worried. Like, grandma in the book is just sort of like, yes, let's go do this. I'm going to send my 9-year-old grandson into the witch's cove. Valhalla!
But this, she's more active. Like, she's a more active participant. Like, she even brings him to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And kind of dumps him off there. But
in the potatoes to hide him, which not always the best place to go when you think about it. Like, of all the places you could have put him, the potato sack is like, yep.
Which they put, like, a bunch of the potatoes in a potato peeler.
Yeah, and then, yeah, and the, like, the little fry maker and stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, not great. Oh, can we talk about the meeting that the witches have?
Oh, yeah.
I will say something. Luke is not as quiet as boy. I mean, he is
not.
He's breathing hard. He's almost like knocking shit over.
It's and like, he keeps like going out from behind the screen, by the side of the screen, by the side of the stage. I mean, and he's like putting his glasses up on the the opening in the screen, trying to get a better look. I'm like, dude, you are like, not you're doing
bad
this
at
well.
This. Yeah. So bad at this.
Like, you are not meant for covert operations, kid.
This is why his grandma was more cautious with him versus book grandma, because she's like, I know this kid's an idiot. This kid makes way too much noise.
Oh, but I do remember being a kid, and, you know, as I've said before, my brother and I grew up watching horror movies, but this still scared me. As a kid, I think I was like 8 or 9 when it came out.
Oh, when Bruno's turning into a mouse?
When Bruno's turning into a mouse, when the with the witch without her mask and wig.
Yeah.
And
or when she's turning into a mouse at the end.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah. I actually even wrote notes going down. I'm like, okay, yeah, the Bruno turning into a mouse scene would have scared the shit out of my kid. And then when she turns into a mouse as well, and like she goes like full Sketsky before she becomes a mouse, it's like, holy shit, yeah, this would have scared the crap out of him.
And then I love the addition of the Rowan Atkins's employee/girlfriend. He's having an affair. She puts she dabs on what she thinks is some perfume, but it's really the potion, and she's now got like these weird little mouse spots,
like fur marks. Yeah.
And you know,
well,
she's
I was waiting for him to lick it. I was waiting for him to lick it off her neck. I was like, especially when she puts it like down her chest, on like I was like going like, oh god, her lover is going to be real. And yeah,
she's now got furry boobs. It's like the worst moles ever. But yeah, okay, so I do love Rowan Atkinson and like everything he does. I love him in Mr. Bean, of course, and Black Adder. Oh my god, and that's the first time I saw Hugh Laurie and just kind of fell in love with him. I was just so happy to see him in this.
Yeah, and like again, it's like they expanded his role. They definitely gave him more of a comedic role. Like, I think, do you think they made when Luke is in the kitchen as a mouse and he's like dumping the formula into the soup pot and he climbs up the one chef's pant legs and they pull his pants off and Rowan Atkinson says like, about nothing much in there. I was like, was that a dick joke? Did I just hear a dick joke there?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. And in that scene, it looks like the chef is not the only one like with his hands all over his junk and his taint.
Yes.
It looked like he was getting grabbed by all the chefs in there. And I was like, oh, this is awkward for a kid's movie. What is happening?
Were you also, speaking of also in that kitchen, were you kind of hoping that the veal that was too tough would have actually gone back to Mr. Jenkins, Bruno's father?
Yes, of course.
Because Mr. Jenkins was such a sleaze. He was like flirting with the high witch when she was like not in her makeup, like right in front of his wife. And I mean, his wife isn't exactly a great person either, but it's like, oh man, I just kind of want to have you be eating that veal that they like slam across like the trash can. I was like, I want that to go back to him right now. I really do.
Me too. Yeah. That would have definitely made my day.
There would have been, he would have been a very deserving candidate. Where it'd be like any other time, I'd be like, ew, that's gross. But it's like, if he got it, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm fine with that. That's fine. You know.
At least they were more concerned with their son than in the book though.
Oh yeah, no, this definitely was like that was a weird like term of events, was like his wife was still kind of like, ah, but he's like, this is our boy. This is our Bruno. And it's like, wow, that's, you've adapted to this. And I think I wrote down, it's like, I think the only reason that he's like accepting this is because he's calculating the decrease in the food budgets and housing expenses now.
He does say, well, mom, you always wanted me to lose weight. Like, oh my god, like I don't think she wanted an obese mouse for son.
And mouse then is gonna die of diabetes because he's like, I can't eat four bananas anymore.
Well, and speaking of, like, I know, like, we were talking about him being an unhealthy mouse, like with the end, after Luke is turned back into a boy, he says, don't forget to go over to Bruno's house. Well, what did you think about the end? Because it seems to me that maybe, like, the disgruntled secretary of the Grand High Witch became, like, a good witch and isn't Uggo anymore?
That's the thing. They don't really establish that as well. Like the grandma does offhandedly when Luke is asking about, like, how long mice live and, you know, saying that he's okay being a mouse, and grandma's like about ready to cry. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, she actually like seems upset that, yes, her grandson is a mouse and that she knows that he's probably not going to live that long. And she mentions offhandedly going like, well, maybe we can find a good witch. It's like, okay. And even then, like, but even the secretary's like, I didn't want to join you anyway when she's up there eating alone and, yeah, you know, because the high witch banishes her, going like, no, you can't join us at the banquet. But yeah, she's like, her hands are pretty and everything. She's not wearing gloves and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, there were things that just felt very under-established. Was just like, oh, I guess they can just change. And yeah. Then the next question is, well, then do children still smell like dog droppings to them? Are witches born or are they created? Like, I suddenly, like,
I was wondering, okay, that too, because I
need some world building.
Yeah, with the hands and with the, like, the having no toes and the eyes, like, she seemed to have normal looking eyes. So it's hard to say, but I would like to have a little bit more in like following her story.
Yeah, because I mean, she was bald. Like when she was, like during the conference, she during the meeting, she is like, just, she doesn't have any hair, so she does have some characteristics.
Before I forget, that conference, you know, like they pan around to the women in the conference, and you could see like a bunch of bald, what do you call them? Like the bald caps.
Yeah, the bald caps.
But you could also see a lot of men, bald men in dresses. And there's one dude that kept like walking around Angelica Houston, and it's like obviously a man. So it's like that witch. That one's my favorite. Oh, but I loved it. Yeah. I did confirm it. Yeah, it's there's some dudes in there. I guess they got tired of having to put a bunch of bald caps on women. And, you know, I mean, for the effects, then, you know, it makes sense. Like,
no, it does. I mean, how many bald caps do you want to do? You've already got Angelica Houston sitting in a chair for like 6 hours. It's like, yeah, like we really want to do like this many more, you know, makeup on this many more extras. Like, can we just find some dude who's lost his hair?
Yeah. And I mean, like, just think about it, because like 6 hours to get in and another 6 to get out of all that makeup and prosthetics. Like, good Lord. I mean, you know, like, sometimes we complain about our jobs, like, not the two of us, but I mean, like, you know, us as in general, the general we, but it's just like, good Lord, she spent at least 12 hours just having shit applied to her and taken off. Yeah. And then add to that hours of acting with and filming in this hot ass rubber suit and the bright lights. And yeah, I could see where she would want to cry. I definitely get it. But yeah, apparently the director Rugg wanted her to be to play it sexy, and which I thought was kind of a weird choice for a children's movie. Like, but there's like this one time where she's like, they're turning him into a mouse and she's just kind of thrusting a little bit and kind of grinding. And she's like, yes, Sari turns. And I was like, oh my. Like, 500 doses. I'm like, oh,
when does she play Morticia?
Yeah, right.
It's like a different kind of step, but still feels very similar.
God, I love her as Morticia Adams. I love her so much that. Oh.
Yeah. I love Angelica Houston, Morticia Adams, the Baroness in Ever After.
Still haven't seen it.
Such a great actress. Oh, why have you not seen this? It's like the best Cinderella movie.
We're gonna
ever.
Have to see it eventually.
No, not really.
Oh no.
No. No, it's everything that there's no actual witchery or magic in it. She doesn't have a fairy godmother. She just has like really good friends who care a lot about her.
Oh, well, damn. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, no, we're not going to get to cover it. It's just a very sweet movie. Yeah, so you just got to watch it on your own.
But yeah, she's done quite a bit, and if you feel ready, we can move on to our witch in the spotlight.
Yeah, I just want to say one other tiny little thing.
Sure.
You know, I didn't realize this in the book, but I kind of thought about it as I was watching the Formula 86. Mm-hmm. I just realized, like, did they? I know probably it was definitely a coincidence and not intentional, but then I started to think about getting 86'd. I was like. I don't know now. I was like, okay, which came first now? Because now I'm just curious. It's like in my mind, I was like, I pondered that for longer than I probably should have when I heard that. I was like, is 86 getting mouse now? Like, it'd be an interesting choice if that was the opinion they had.
You know, I had a similar question about I guess not very similar because I almost forgot that when he as a mouse is carrying around the potion, they seem to be using a real mouse or a real rat, and he's still like carrying the potion in his tail. And I was wondering how they got that. And
is this where we have to look up the Milo and Otis issue where we see if any mice were harmed?
I'm really hoping it's not like a Milo and Otis sort of situation.
I mean, to be fair, like that kid in the very beginning and he got his mice was kind of torturing them. Like he builds like this really cool contraption, but at one point you see one of them like standing in front of those like moving skeletons and just being shaken back and forth where it goes, wah, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, okay, that kid's torturing those fucking mice.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, like that is just cruel. Like they're not being taught tricks. They're just traumatized. They're just like, just don't hurt us, master. We'll do anything, please. Don't hurt us, big scary person. Wow, that got really dark just now. Oh my God.
Yeah, it did.
Good.
But on to brighter things. I don't know about you, but when I was watching Rowan Atkinson's hotel manager character, I kept thinking about John Cleese in Fawlty Towers.
Thank you. I had the same image. Like I almost thought the chef was John Cleese because he was just so much taller. And I was like, man, that would have been a good get to Rowan Atkinson and John Cleese as the chef. I think it's only because I think of that one scene from Flying Circus where John Cleese does come out with an axe, like as the chef. He's like, you make me so mad. He just slams the knife down.
Oh, man. Oh, well, see, it's not too late for us to kickstart our film. Oh, but yeah. I guess if you feel ready, then before we move on to our next segment, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Are you having a hard time removing all those children from the neighborhood? Are your plans constantly thwarted by one Norwegian woman? Do your annual witch meetings for the eradication of children just seem to go nowhere? Contact Jane Janerson III, Esquire, MBA, MD, DM, Magical Malfeasance Project Manager with over 30 years of telling people their plans are stupid and they should feel bad. She will be straightforward and honest with you about how absolutely stupid your plan is. Thinking of turning all the children into area rugs?
Stupid.
Contemplating creating a lion that eats only children?
Stupid.
Turning the world's children into mouse people?
Are you kidding me? That has got to be the dumbest idea I've ever heard. You should apologize to the world for continuing to exist.
Now, a couple of words from our founder.
Hi, I'm Jane Janerson III, blah, 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 blah. Look, I don't agree with what you're trying to do. Unlike you witches, I happen to like children. But what I do hate is a bad plan. Offering a child a snake? Did you ever stop to consider that some kids don't like snakes? Giving a child poison chocolate? Some children don't like chocolate, you dipshit! Some like Skittles! With my 9-week intensive program, all for the low, low cost of 20 monthly payments of $59.99, you will not only learn how to build a foolproof plan, but also how to delegate tasks to the appropriate witches. We will also help you weed out your weakest link. I'm looking at you, Carla. Your firing is coming. Literally.
Our program will provide you with the skills needed to operate in today's complex child-filled world. What are you waiting for? Send all inquiries to broomflix@gmail.com.
And we're back. Thank you so much, sponsors. So now we're going to be moving on to our Witch in the Spotlight. Of course, we're talking about the angelic, gorgeous Angelica Houston. She was actually born on the same day as my dad, which I found pretty interesting. She, in 1985, oh, that's right, she also grew up in California. Same as my dad, too. So, I mean, they might be the same person. I don't know. I don't remember my dad being gorgeous, but, you know, whatever.
just waiting to see where this train goes right now.
Like, given the fact okay. She's still alive, I don't know. In 1985, she won an Academy Award for her performance in Prizzi's Honor. And this made her the first person to be the third generation of Oscar winners, because her father, John Huston, was a director and he won an Oscar. And her grandfather was Walter Huston, who was an actor as well. And he won an award too, an Oscar. So that was pretty cool. And also, your favorite part, Jane, her brother is Danny Huston, who we are going to be covering eventually because he is in the American Horror Story Coven. He's the axe murderer.
The axe man?
The axe man. The axe
man. Everybody must also play jazz.
Yes. And I fucking love Danny Huston. He was also in Stolen alongside Nicolas Cage.
I was waiting for that. My hackles again. Like, everything I was sort of like.
It all comes back.
I mean, and, I kind of assumed, like, if it wasn't going to be that, like, some, like, she must have started, like, some movie with Nicolas Cage. Like, I'm like, it's too. Like, I knew something was going to happen there. I was like, I can't escape that one. Like, I can escape it when we're reading books. I can't escape it when there's movies involved.
They haven't acted together, but she did. She is a friend of his and had some nice things to say. But we'll save that for Cage's Kiss. But she's also directed a few things. Her directorial debut was for Bastard Outta Carolina in 1996, and which I've been meaning to watch because it's in my I actually have the book in my book list, and it's been in there for a while, and so I've been meaning to watch that. She also directed Agnes Brown, and in which she actually starred as well. And in 2005, she directed Riding the Bus with My Sister, where Rosie O'Donnell plays a developmentally disabled woman. And it's a fun watch, I will say that. And also, supposedly she's been working on another project for about 20 years, so we'll see if that happens. But she's also quite active. She led a letter campaign for the address to the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, urging him to personally intervene to secure the release of Nobel Peace Prize recipient Aung San Suu Kyi of Burma.
Aung San Suu Kyi.
There you go. What she said. That's exactly what I said.
Aung San Suu Kyi. I followed the Myanmar Burma thing, so I've heard her name a lot. Yeah.
Oh, I should have had you go over that part.
Well, I don't know what she did as part of it, besides, you know, like, part of the letter writing campaign. I just know about, just her Aung San Suu Kyi's imprisonment, and then release and eventual rise to power, and now kind of fall because populations of people are also now being horribly treated. And that's all I'm going to say on that because we're trying to stick to the topic here.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm just like, it was great that she was released, and now it's not so great. As I say, yay. Rohingya Muslims comes up, and that's all we're going to talk about because that's complicated and deserves somebody else with more knowledge of it to talk about.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite charities to give to is Save the Chimps, and I was so freaking happy to see apparently she sits on the advisory council for Save the Chimps, and so freaking excited because I freaking love Save the Chimps and everything that they do. There's also a primate sanctuary here in Washington, which I've been wanting to get involved with, but it's a real far drive for me. She actually narrated a video for Save the Chimps History that was basically covering the abuse of chimps by laboratories, by NASA, and by the entertainment entertainment field. Sorry, I'm sick and I'm tired, literally. But
I wasn't sure which way to go with that because, like, I think entertainment, you know, industry is just a nice way of putting it. But
thank you.
Okay. But I was like, I don't know if there was something else that happened I wasn't aware of.
The entertainment pornography segment of, Linda, no words so good right now. But she also worked with PETA to record a PSA, basically telling the entertainment industry just to fucking knock it off already. Like, stop using chimps and primates for your entertainment and making them work for you. Because they aren't treated very well in entertainment. They've been treated horribly by NASA and by laboratories. And, I mean, that's a whole different, you know, conversation.
My understanding also, and this comes from I believe it was Kevin Smith talked about this also, when they had a chimp in their own movie, it was a young chimp. And I think they explained to him that after they're, like, at a certain age, they can't use them anymore because once they hit maturity, they become basically reduced to their own nature. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible treatment and everything. So, and he didn't know that. And he's like, yeah, that was kind of fucked up. But that was the thing I had heard him talking about. I was like, oh my God. And I think it was kind of similar to like the little monkey they use in Friends as well.
Marceau. I can't remember the name.
Thank you. That one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I love monkeys and I love chimps, primates of all kinds.
Oh, she loves monkeys. But... Can I just point out she loves monkeys?
I do. I have a whole room with Nicolas Cage stuff and monkey stuff.
Oh, no, I've recorded in that room. I think I've even mentioned one time when we were recording how I was recording in that room. And I am surrounded by monkeys that are all staring at me as I record.
Yeah, I kind of love monkeys, guys. but, you know, I used to love seeing them in shows and movies. But then that was before I realized how fucked up they're treated. And it is pretty terrible. So if you can also give to Save the Chimps or the Northwest Primate Sanctuary or any like sanctuary near you, please do so. It's awesome. She just recently actually donated her fur coats to homeless and animal shelters. So that was cool. And yep. She did have an off and on relationship with Jack Nicholson, who we will also be covering eventually because he's in Witches of Eastwick, and which I fucking love, and it's been so long. But apparently she was
witness.
She was a witness. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to find the best way to put this.
Witness, and also she was charged with she was found in possession
cocaine. Yeah,
yeah, arrested in possession of cocaine when they were searching during the Roman Polanski 13-year-old child rape case.
Yeah. So Roman Polanski, she was what Nick?
She was Jack Nicholson's. Yeah, she was Jack Nicholson's partner for 13 years. Like, that was a long time.
It was a long time, but apparently it was up until when he announced publicly that he had a son with a woman that was not Angelica Houston. And so I think it was about that time she was like, oh, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess they were over at Jack Nicholson's house, and Polanski had his 13-year-old victim there. And they kind of raided it, the house, and she was found to have cocaine in her purse, but she got out of it because the charges, because they said it was an illegal seizure of her handbag. So,
well, because I mean, they were searching. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but my understanding is that and attorneys, you can correct me. I am definitely not an attorney, but I think that, you know, it has to do with what is in the extent of what's in the warrant. And if the warrant was, you know, only for certain locations in which they had to search, and if her handbag wasn't one of them, then they can't put that evidence into court or charge against her, because that would have been an illegal search and seizure based off of the warrant that they used to search the house. That's my understanding of it. Again, I am really not an attorney. I will never claim to be one, but that's my understanding of why that was thrown out as being an illegal search.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but either way, she got out of it, and Roman Polanski may have some amazing movies, but he's also a terrible person, so yeah. But yeah, I should also mention the fact that she is in The Ice Pirates. Like, I gotta end this on a high note. The Ice Pirates. And she was also in This is Spinal Tap, too.
Oh, okay. That's well, she's also, we're gonna get to talk about her a little bit later, because she's also in The Mists of Avalon, so.
Oh, God, I totally forgot that. Oh my God, that mm-hmm. book was so freaking long, and I loved the story.
The adaptation? Story as, what about the adaptation?
Yeah, I love the adaptation, but I will tell you this, I don't think I can make it through the book again. Like, it's a big ass book, dude.
Well, considering the fact that we're, what, a week until our deadline to finish, was it Air of Fire? Where are we at? Which fifth book are we on?
Yeah, I was meaning to talk to you about that. I'm pretty sure that you said November 20th was the deadline.
Hey, Donnie, can we go back and check the tapes?
Don't do it, Donnie.
Roll tape 220.
Don't you fucking do it, Donnie. I know where you live.
Donnie. I know where you live, Donnie. You know that you need to be fair. You have to be impartial here. I know that you and Linda have a long history, and now you need to think about every single time she ever made you angry. And now go back and listen to October 30th. It was October 31st.
Made my, Empire of my Storms. Darling, wonderful brother angry. ever. He's the best brother ever. He's amazing. Don't you fucking do it, Donnie. But anywho. Yeah,
Empire Storms, 1 week. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to be watching fucking Vampire Diaries. I'm really sad about it. <Yeah. laughs>
I have given you an out for a little bit before we start digging into Vampire Diaries. Because I would like to try to cover Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina first, because I keep saying that people need to watch that.
Yeah, I am happy about that.
Yes. So you get a small reprieve before we start out on Vampire Diaries, because we're going to have some meetings to discuss how we're going to talk about it. And, you know, like, how do we address episodes and everything? And the fact that she is going to have to watch every single episode in order to understand how characters are developing, no. Even if a witch isn't mentioned in it until much later.
No. But, you know, hopefully the world will open up and, like, reality will tear and suck up all of the Vampire Diaries, and I'll never have to watch it.
Or you can finish reading the book in a week.
Oh, God damn it. I'm, like, halfway through. I've got, like, 300-something-something pages left, and I'm a slow-ass reader, so it ain't gonna happen.
I know, so you're thinking, like, do you want to know everything I've read in the last 2 weeks?
No. Plus, it doesn't help that I've got a big ass report to do at work. But anywho, so I guess now's the time where I say, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Apple Podcasts, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps us immensely. It helps other people find us. And go over and may as well go to Podchaser. You could just copy and paste your review there. You know, well, it's all groovy to us, and we appreciate every single one. And on all those other podcast platforms. Remember, you could find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at Broomflicks. You can write to us at broomflicks@gmail.com as well. And remember that we're the best because we've got the licks at the end. Broomflicks. You could also find me on the weekly podcast Cage's Kiss, the Nicolas Cage podcast. We just covered Between Worlds. Actually, no, this week we just covered Into the Spider-Verse. So
I love that movie so much.
I do too. And you know, I might actually be totally off with my timing. but who cares?
I don't keep track of what you guys are doing. I just kind of hear about it offhandedly.
Why don't you?
That's what they're doing this week.
No, I think we're actually covering one of his straight to, like, direct to video or direct to streaming movies.
Oh, it's, you guys are going to have lots of drinks.
Oh, God, yeah. It's A Score to Settle. I believe we just covered that. But that means next week we're covering Color Out of Space, which we have a special commentary track to. I'm really super excited about it. But also, you can check me out as Lila in Dispatches of Disassociation and as Patrice and Lieutenant Murphy in Coyote's Bluff. Jane, where can the people find you?
Well, clearly you can now find me writing scripts and other random commercial jargon just to entertain one particular person in my life.
Yay! You, the listener.
The collective you all.
I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their awesome song Compass. Check them out. Check out his new band, Oddness, O-D-D-N-E-S-S-E. And also thanks, Jane, for that awesome ad. And Kristen from Coffin Cast and Donnie for editing, as always.
Yes, they were wonderful help. Thank you for helping me too. Thank you, Kristen, for helping me to get that going and supplying your voice. And thank you, Donnie, obviously, for always editing. And just remember, go back and check to make sure what date I said Linda has to finish the book, because I'm pretty sure that it's that date. And I'm always very grateful for all the really hard work that you put into this. Okay.
Well, whatever. Donnie. Don't suck up to him.
Donnie, you know me.
Yeah, Donnie, you know her. You know her, Donnie.
Whenever I've done something hurtful to you or mean, it was because Jane told me to do it.
I didn't know you when you were kids.
Shh.
Anyways, in our next episode, we'll be covering the new 2020 movie version of The Witches, starring Anne Hathaway and Octavia Spencer, who I also love as an actress, which you can stream for free with a subscription to HBO Max. No, go away, HBO. Don't come sit back down with me. I don't want to talk to you right now. It's a 7-day trial and then you just cancel it.
You know what you did, HBO Max.
And until then, what's that got to do with my knob? Jeez, knob.
What's up, Hushlings? I'm Declassified Dave.
And I'm Mystery Mike.
We're joined by our protege, Slick Fronk Sanders.
Fronk Sanders here. How's it going, Hushlings?
Join us Mondays for the Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour. Follow along on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And listen on all streaming platforms at our Linktree, linktr.ee/Hush Hush Society.
Remember, the best kept secrets are hidden in plain sight.